Welcome to Rare Disease Advisor's Rare Care Podcast, offering unique perspectives from researchers, clinicians, and influencers from the rare disease community.
Hello, this is Larry Luxner, Senior Correspondent for Rare Disease Advisor. We're at the National Institutes of Health Rare Disease Day in Bethesda, Maryland, talking with Dr. Seema Lalani, a professor of molecular and human genetics at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. For the last 2 years, Dr. Lalani has headed Project GIVE, which stands for Genetic Inclusion by Virtual Evaluation. This $300,000 innovative project, which is being funded by the National Center for Advancing Translational Science, NCATS, a division of NIH, hopes to reduce the diagnostic odyssey for children with rare disease in the Rio Grande Valley of Texas, which includes some of the poorest cities in the United States. Native of Pakistan, Dr. Lalani understands the importance of diversity and inclusion when it comes to healthcare. Thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you for having me, Larry.
Your project looks to be very interesting, and I'd like to ask you to talk about it. What is Project GIVE and what are your objectives?
Of course. So Project GIVE stands for Genetic Inclusion by Virtual Evaluation. This is a project that we are currently leading at the Texas-Mexico border for children with rare diseases in the Rio Grande Valley.
And can you explain to me a little bit about its objective, how you go about it, and what do you hope to accomplish?
Of course. So rare diseases cause significant problems with disability, long-term complications, and we know that children with rare diseases suffer the most. The border area, because of multiple problems, including low socioeconomic status, there are significant barriers to genomic testing for these children suffering from rare diseases and remain undiagnosed for a very long period of time. So Project GIVE is entering this community and offering whole genome sequencing to these children and a virtual evaluation from Houston, which is about 5 hours away, for this community. That way, Project GIVE is able to deliver state-of-the-art genetic evaluation to these children who have poor resources otherwise.
And just for our listeners, the Rio Grande Valley of Texas encompasses roughly 1.3 million people, 94% of whom are Hispanic. One-third of this population under 65 is uninsured, and the region is home to some of the poorest cities in the nation, with a poverty level approaching 29.5%.
That is correct. That's why the cost of genetic testing is going to be out of reach for many of these families in the region. And we are committed to helping this community. And it's perfect that this is a rare disease event, and we were able to talk about this work on a larger scale today.
Right. And according to the Texas Birth Defects Registry, the prevalence of birth defects in the Rio Grande Valley between 1999 and 2014 was an astounding 474 cases per 10,000 live births, which is not only higher than the Texas average, but it is very high compared to the national U.S. average.
That is correct. If you compare this rate to Harris County, where Houston is, this rate is approximately 370 per 10,000 live births. So this is a significant number for birth defects in this region.
Now, Texas has 254 counties, by far the largest in the United States. How many counties does your project encompass?
So right now it has four counties, which are as defined by federal resources. This is underserved, medically underserved. And as you mentioned, it does have one of the poorest cities in the region, in the country, including Mission,
McAllen
and Edinburgh.
As we were discussing before, parents may not even know that their children are predisposed to a genetic disease. They may have no idea what their genetic past is.
That is absolutely true. And we have seen recurrence of sometimes very devastating genetic diseases in families because the first child did not get the diagnosis that was required.
Now, some of the most common rare genetic diseases include spinal muscular atrophy, cystic fibrosis, Duchenne muscular dystrophy, of course, hemophilia. These are relatively common rare diseases, but your research also uncovered the presence of very, very rare, like ultra-rare diseases as well.
That is correct, Larry. So We are doing whole genome sequencing for this community, which means that this would be the first test that is expected to cover all the diseases that you mentioned. So far, we have whole genome sequencing results back on some 19 patients. And of course, you're not seeing these disorders that you mentioned because, you know, these are rare disorders still. But we have uncovered some conditions which are ultra rare and described in a handful of families worldwide. And we are interested to see what this pattern will show in the next coming year.
Okay, I want to ask you something. The fact that 94% of these patients are Hispanic, many of them are bilingual, but a lot of people are not bilingual and they're not documented too. So they may have a fear of seeking medical care because they don't want to be deported, especially in this current political environment.
That is absolutely true. These kids have the same problem as the rest of the other children, families, English speaking. But these are the families that are most in need, in my opinion, because they hesitate to seek medical care. They have difficulties in traveling to bigger centers where the child could be seen, and they are most vulnerable. I truly believe that the needs of these patients that are just Spanish-speaking families need to be addressed as a priority.
And also, Texas is a big state, and the major medical facilities in Houston, Dallas, Austin, etc. are far away from the border communities.
That is true. So Houston would be approximately 5 hours away from Edinburgh, where I work. So it is absolutely true. There are other centers that they try to reach, one in San Antonio and Corpus Christi. They will have geneticists in these regions, but they are still at a very large distance from this community.
So one of your aims here, it says, reduce time to diagnosis by using a machine-assisted virtual web-based service delivery to deliver state-of-the-art genetics evaluation in a medically underserved population. There's a lot of big words there. Can you explain in simple English, what does that mean?
Yes, so we designed a virtual platform called Consultagene. This was designed by Baylor College of Medicine. It was initially designed to offer educational resources, genetic counseling, and peer-to-peer consultations. It has been actively used for prenatal testing, prenatal counseling, cancer genetics, as well as treatment of Alzheimer patients. But to bring this in pediatric area was the first time we achieved through Project Give. It has, as I said, various tools that can be useful for the families and the referring physicians. At the same time, it allows us to see these patients remotely while sitting in Houston.
Your goal was to recruit 100 children over a two-year period, but you exceeded that, right?
That is true, and we were astounded by the success of this project, mainly, I would say, because of the referral process, which was through Consultagene. Anyone, we opened it to healthcare professionals who were seeing these patients, didn't have to be a doctor or a nurse or nurse practitioner. It was open to a large number of health professionals to refer these patients, including physical therapists, occupational therapists, and speech therapists.
Can you point out maybe some anecdotal and some stories of some unusual diseases that you uncovered through this research?
Yes, absolutely. There have been ultra-rare diagnoses, as I said. USP9X was one condition which we found. And this mother, I've never seen a family like that before, but this mother decided to tattoo that gene name on her arm because she wanted to find more families and so she was immensely grateful that this diagnosis was found for this child.
What was the name of the disease again?
USP9X.
Okay, we've heard of that. And she had a tattoo with the name of that disease?
Yes.
On her arm?
Yes.
Okay. What about some of these other ultra, ultra rare diseases for whom maybe only several hundred cases appear every year?
Right. And this is something I see in my day-to-day practice as well as a clinical geneticist. So RGV is not unique to that. For something like that, we are also learning at the same time as the families are. We try to find support groups for these families. You know, sometimes you find that in Facebook and you are able to bring these families together. We do look for clinical trials if they are available for these rare diseases. We try to help them as much as we can, despite the fact that there are only a handful of families reported.
And when it comes to healthcare, Texas generally ranks pretty low among 50 states. How is it in terms of newborn screening?
So it's not what I do. my job is not on the metabolic side, but Texas, I would say that it's very active in addressing abnormalities in newborn screening. I don't think that it lags behind in that sense.
And I want to ask you a language question. The fact that a lot of these people not only don't speak English and don't have a legal status in the U.S., and those who live in Mexico who may need the same treatment but can't cross the border, what can you do for those people?
I think our policy makers need to address these issues. Yes, there are children in Mexico who cannot cross the border. There are also children living in RGV that are undocumented and they cannot reach large centers to get the care that they need. I think this needs to be addressed at a higher level, clearly deserving families and these patients, definitely.
Any final words on Rare Disease Day?
I would say I am very happy to be here at the NIH with families, researchers, physicians who are just trying to work together and resolve problems, find treatment for rare diseases. It's just great to be here at this time.
We've been talking with Dr. Seema Lalani, professor of molecular and human genetics at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. Thank you so much for speaking with us today.
Thank you, Larry, for having me.
Be sure to follow the latest news, perspectives, and clinical resources on rare diseases at rarediseaseadvisor.com. Thank you for listening.